our end show here on Psychic Talk Radio Network. This is the show where we discuss and take your questions on tarot, numerology, Vedic mantras and practices, as well as anything and everything psychic, spiritual, hypnosis, meditation, energy healing, psychic development, and so much more. We also take your calls for free mini readings and guidance live on the air. So you want to dial in, call us at 714-816-4628 and press number 1 to get into the queue. The number again is 714-816-4628. And if you want to talk to us, you must press number 1 to get into that queue. Hi, I'm your host, Dr. Rose, and I love talking about all things psychic. I am an intuitive certified life coach, and I have a passion for so many things, mantras and meditations and mythology. In fact, I love to befriend, invoke, communicate with, and also work with divine beings from different traditions. But most importantly, I love to take my psychic knowledge and skills to help others, just like you, to experience a true transformation in your life. So welcome to the show. And joining me now, as always, which is now in its 16th year, a radio show personality for 10 years now. And he's also a certified tarot master, numerologist, life coach, and professional hypnotist. In fact, Dax can do just about anything except for neurosurgery. And here he is, Dr. Dax. Hey, Dr. Dax, how you doing? Great to be back on the air with you.
Hey, Rose. Yeah, like I told you last week, I'm working on the neurosurgery. Yeah, and Mary Brown is going to be my first patient. She doesn't know it yet. Just kidding. Oh, my gosh. Oh, wow. So, you know, I don't know. We had a little bit we've been having a little audio problems, folks, and so we apologize. Hopefully the recording will be fine for the rest of the show here. We are live, though, so give us a call, 714-816-4628. And who knows, maybe it's the Fae, because, you know, that's what we're doing today, visiting with the Irish Fae and having on special guest Mary Brown. That's going to be a lot of fun. We just had St. Paddy's Day, actually. Of course, it was probably, you know, even the pubs in Ireland were closed for St. Paddy's Day. So it was probably the worst St. Paddy's Day of history.
Oh, my goodness.
Right, Rose?
Especially in New York, because they get started really early, like 10 o'clock in the morning or earlier.
Well, yeah, and the parades and everything like that, you know. Before we bring Mary on, I just wanted to mention that our shows on Friday and Saturday are sponsored by the Tarot Guild, and you can go over to thetarotguild.com, check us out. You can join the website for free. It's not just an ordinary website. It's actually like social media, like Facebook. We have a lot of fantastic features on there, and you can join for free, thetarotguild.com. But I did want to mention that I did a sale for St. Paddy's Day, and I decided to extend it for the rest of March. And the sale is, if you enroll in my Tarot by the Numbers course, if you want to learn tarot and numerology, and you enroll in my course at thetarotguild.com/learn, you're going to get your membership to the Tarot Guild and your certification for free. And that's a $78 value. The membership includes the certification, and it's $78 a year or $9.97 a month, so you're getting a $78 value when you sign up for my course. And again, that's thetarotguild.com/learn, or if you're on our website, you can find it. It's all over the place there. You know, just enroll in the course. Let me know you enrolled, and I'll get you your membership as well. So that's a special we're running all month here, and, you know, with the health crisis and everything and a lot of people being stuck at home, this is a great time to take a course, right, Rose?
Absolutely. Sorry, I had myself on mute. Absolutely. I actually bought a couple of courses from C.G. Jones, so I was like, well, since I'm here, not that I don't already have about 10 of them. But this is an opportunity to learn, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so we are going to do the mantra of the day. Or I'm sorry, the mantra of the week. I always get that confused. I'm sorry, because I'm thinking of the card of the day. We got the card of the day, the numerology of the day, and the mantra of the week. And, of course, we're going to be talking about the Irish Fae and getting into fairies and all of that with Mary Brown. Let's bring Mary on right now so she can join in the party. Mary is the Vice President for Certification for the Tarot Guild, and she's a professional tarot reader. She's also a crystal goddess, rock hound, crystal keeper, certified crystal Reiki master. But what a lot of people don't know is that she's actually also a certified fairyologist. So let's bring her on and find out, you know, what that actually is and about the fairies. And then specifically about the Irish fairies, we thought that, you know, there is some differences. And with it, you know, just being St. Paddy's Day a few days ago, we thought it'd be fun to talk about this. Let's bring her on, Mary Brown. Hey, Mary, how you doing? Yay!
Hi, Jack. Hi, Dr. Rose. Hi, Dr. Dax. How are you? This is fun.
We're having fun here on a Friday.
We're doing great.
Yep.
Awesome. Awesome.
I'm afraid the fairies are messing with the audio, though, for the show.
Yeah, you know, I'll have to, you know, it's funny. One of my teachers at my actual Irish, I take classes through the Irish Pagan School, and she said every time she teaches on the Irish fairies, or known as the she, she always has tech issues. She
wow.
always does, every time. So it's just a thing. And usually, you know, it's just kind of letting us know
mm-hmm.
they're listening in on what we're going to say about them. So I, you know, had a few words with them while that was going on and told them, you know, that this is about learning more about them. And we're coming from a place of, you know, respect and curiosity and please play nice. stop it with the audio, please.
Well, it did sound like it's clearing up, so maybe they're heeding your words. It's very possible. It's very possible.
They're giving
so,
us
you know,
a chance.
Right. And Mary, you have Irish heritage.
Yes, I do. Yeah, I'm 50% Irish.
Oh,
wow.
So not only is it perfect to have you on being the fairyologist, but also, you know, it's perfect for the Irish Fae because, you know, you're 50% Irish.
Oh.
That makes sense. I love it.
Absolutely.
I love it.
Yeah,
hey,
thank
you
so
know,
much for having me on.
Oh, it's going to be fun. Can't wait to get into it. Before we get into the Irish Fae, however, did want to do the card of the day, numerology of the day. We always do the mantra of the week. And you can join in, because I know you do a card of the day too as well, Mary. Plus, I wanted to just, you know, throw it out there that anybody that wants to call in, usually people call in, obviously, with life questions. We pull some cards and stuff. But with all the craziness going on and the health crisis and everything like that, people might just want to call in and vent or, you know, just talk about it or have us pull some cards, you know, either on it in general or their particular situation in regards to the health crisis. You know, we could do all of that or any of that. Also, I wanted to mention we are doing a psychic spin segment next Saturday on the Tarot Today Show, which is on Saturdays. Mary and I will be back on, obviously, tomorrow. And we have a special guest, James Rickliff. We're going to be talking about tarot games. And, you know, we did not plan this, Mary, but it is so perfect because now people, you know, in their homes or even over Zoom or Skype or Facebook call or something can play games with their tarot decks together while they're stuck at home, right?
Oh, yeah. And James has got a fun game using tarot that we can play with anybody that calls in to that show tomorrow, too.
Awesome, awesome. But on the 28th next week, we're going to be doing a Psychic Spin episode, obviously, on the coronavirus. And we had planned this a long, long time ago. And, you know, when it was really early, I think it was, I want to say even January or February when this, you know, was starting to happen. And, you know, so much has changed and it's just been a whirlwind. In fact, I wanted to mention, I don't know if you guys have noticed, you know, we were on last week, right? Mary and Rose, you know, we were on last Friday and Mary and I were on last Saturday and look how much changed in just that, you know, short amount of time, that 1 week. In fact, I was going to mention to you guys, it feels like the last time we all were on air was like a month ago. It doesn't feel like a week ago.
It's like a different world.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah.
It's just crazy. It's just amazing. You know, I mean, how things can change so quickly. And so if anybody wants to discuss any of this, give us a call, 714-816-4628. And, you know, anything you want to talk about, if you want us to pull some cards or what have you, we're going to do a whole show on this, like we said, at the end of the month, and we'll be pulling cards on it. And that's the other thing. If you have questions that you want Mary and I to bring up on that show, on the Psychic Spin segment, questions that we should be asking, because, you know, we don't know if we're going to ask the right questions. So send in your ideas. You can contact us through Facebook or you can email us, mary@psychictalk.net, dax@psychictalk.net, and mail in your questions and ideas. And we'd be happy to maybe ask some of those questions live on air on the 28th. Yeah. But meanwhile, today you can call in as well and chat with us about this. I mean, it's just, I think we're all kind of like taken aback. How things can go downhill so quickly, it just shows the vulnerability of really the entire human race, if you think about it, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think people are thinking about things now in ways that they never did. You know, kind of a lot of stuff that we kind of took for granted, right? Like toilet paper.
Mm-hmm.
Not, we always have it, you know. It's funny, you know, if we could, you know, I think that's it, though. But we can't allow ourselves to lose our sense of humor. And that's the thing I'm kind of glad to see is so many funny, you know, perspectives on it too, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And, of course, our mantra maven, Dr. Rose, has a mantra of the week to help out. And I wanted to mention, you know, actually, even in the numerology, it's giving us clues. Because today's date, 3/20/2020, look at all those zeros and twos. You know, twos are about relationships. 20 reduces to two, so the day energy is two. But the entire date, 3 + 2 + 2 + 2, because you drop all the zeros, obviously, you get 9, which is the end of a cycle. And so, you know, the old, you know, if life hands you lemons, make lemonade. There's a lot that we could be, you know, doing. You know, here we are, a lot of us, not everybody, but most of us are, you know, staying at home. And, you know, some people are quarantined. Some people are staying home, you know, just heeding the advice, doing it on their own. And we have all this extra time now. So we can work on things, folks. We can take advantage of this. We can work on ourselves. We can better ourselves in many different ways. Like I mentioned earlier, you know, you can enroll in my course and learn tarot and numerology. You can go on Udemy and learn any of a myriad of thousands of different things. Just about anything you want to learn, you can find on Udemy. You know, and, you know, maybe you want to take up a new modality. You want to learn EFT or hypnosis or NLP or Reiki or, you know, and
Max,
so
I have
many
a suggestion.
Different. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to add to it astral projection. Since many of us are inside,
ooh,
and have to be inside, learn astral
yeah.
projection. That's something that I've even heard of some prisoners who have learned how to do that. And remember, these people are physically incarcerated. They cannot leave, right? They can't go
right.
for a walk in the park kind of thing. Sometimes they'll let them out depending upon, you know, if they're in, like, high-level, you know, lockdown or whatnot. But, that's what I recommend.
That's
actually
a great
projection.
Idea.
Yeah.
There's some other things I wanted to mention. Real quick is besides that, you know, taking the courses or, you know, working on yourself that way, there's a lot of other ways. You know, even though we're stuck at home, you can get on Skype or Zoom or some kind of a, you know, Facebook call or phone with a practitioner or a therapist. You know, they can do distance Reiki. They can do EFT, obviously, NLP, hypnosis can all be done over these mediums, you know, while the practitioner's at their office or home and you're at your place, and you can, you know, work on various things that you want to work on. If you, you know, want to slow down or eliminate drinking or quit smoking or any, you know, of these kind of social related habits, it's perfect because you don't have the triggers of you know, being out and about and going to restaurants and bars and places where people are congregating and drinking and smoking and everything. You know, this is like the perfect time for everybody to quit smoking and you know, cut back on your drinking or eliminate drinking if you want. There's things like that we could be working on. We could be doing meditation and self-introspection, pull out your tarot deck, pull out your oracle deck and start working on things as well. Plus, literally and figuratively cleaning out the closets, you know. Clear out all the baggage, you know, go on YouTube. You can learn most of these things on YouTube, like EFT. You could learn tapping on YouTube. If you're feeling anxiety because of the health crisis, do some tapping. There's wonderful, you know, people are just jumping on there, putting on free tapping sessions where you can tap along, tap away the anxiety from the health crisis, and also, you know, tapping on other blockages and unwanted negative feelings that you want to clear out. You could be doing that, and also literally cleaning out the closets, you know, clear out the garage, clear out the closets, you know, stuff you haven't seen or touched for 6 months, a year, 2 years, can't get rid of that stuff, you know. So there's a lot we could be doing. You know, there's always the other side of the coin. When something looks like a crisis, looks like, you know, there's all this negative things happening, there's always a silver lining. There's always the other side of the coin. There's always an opportunity in adversity, always. So just look for the silver lining. Look for how you could take advantage of this time. There you go. Okay, I'm going to get down off my soapbox now. But Dr. Rose, do you have a mantra that can help us out during this time of crisis?
Yes, I do. You know, everybody, I'm in California, and California is one of the states where we are really, they have strongly recommended that we stay at home. And also I have a mother who's, you know, over the age of 80. So I have to be really careful, you know, and we have to do the social distancing and everything along with it. So, you know, when I give mantras out, remember it's a spiritual solution. Always follow the advice of the, you know, authorities in your community, medical advice and whatnot. And this is not a substitute for that at all, but you can actually use this as a way of helping to protect yourself in a way. Again, you know, you want to make sure that you do what people recommend in your part of the, you know, country, what the authorities are saying, medical advice and whatnot. So this is not to usurp that. But I understand, you know, I too have just this nervousness. You know, I think it's a little bit of lack of sleep and being on caffeine too. But, you know, I have this nervousness because we're, you know, with every single day we're getting these updates of the kind of changes that are taking place. And it's challenging for all of us. Now, we're not locked down in the sense that if we step out of the door, they'll push us back into the house or anything like that. We can still go to parks. All of our regional parks are still open, so we can go out and get fresh air. We just have to stay 6 feet away from people, you know. So, but, you know, in your mind, you're thinking, oh, my gosh, you know, I'm so stressed out. So I have a protection mantra that I'd like to recommend for everyone because, you know, there's a lot of fear out there and a lot of anxiety. And what I like about the protection mantra is that it's I've given this up before, actually, probably not too long ago. The mantra is doom, doom, okay? And it's the seed sound for the energy of protection, which is also considered a feminine energy. And if fear is a problem for you, this is definitely the mantra you want to chant, okay? The wonderful thing that I like about doom is that it's connected to a goddess in India called Durga, D-U-R-G-A. And if you Google her, Google images of her, you'll see her riding on a tiger or lion. She has eight arms and weapons in each arm. I'm sorry, not each arm, each hand. She's also called Adi Parashakti. That's one of her names, Adi Parashakti. Some people understand her as Parvati, who is the great mother and whatnot. But anyway, Durga is a great mother. She is the warrior form of the great mother. And she, the mythology that centers around her is about combating evils and demonic forces that threaten peace and prosperity and dharma, you know, which is the power of good over evil. And this is a kind of, you know, this is an energy, a goddess that we definitely need in our lives right now, right? This virus is attacking many people all around the planet, and it's very scary, and there are different ways that we are having to be and interact that we're not used to. And so, you know, this is the mantra that I recommend that you chant. So you can chant Doom or Om Doom Durgaye Namaha. Om Doom Durgaye Namaha. Now, another way I want you to think of Durga, because she is considered to be, she's a warrior, true, but she's also a great mother. So meaning that if you've ever had a mother or a nurturing person in your life, like you think about when you were a kid and maybe you came down with the flu or you got sick or you bumps your knee and the mother would come and hug you and there, it's okay. Here, I'm going to take care of you. Here's some little medicine. Or when I was a kid, I don't know, Mary and Dax, when we were young, we didn't have the medication for flus and stuff, you know, to lower the fever. Our parents used to dump us in a tub of ice. When our fever was too high. So that was huge, you know, like we're like, no, and they were like, no, get into the tub, you know. It was very shocking. Nowadays they have medication and stuff for that, so I don't know if they do too much of that these days. But you can see how shocking that is, and you know, children crying, and you know, they're sick. My mother used to pray over me, even though I think she knew I would get through it, but I would be very sick. You know, your stomach is hurting or whatever's going on. You're down in the bed. And, you know, my mother used to pray over me. That's what Durga is like, you know. She will protect you. She will do all she can to help you. At the same time, she's loving you, and she's feeling compassion for your situation. So my recommendation is to chant Doom or Om Doom Durgaye Namaha, and just allow the Great Mother to come and fall upon you and wrap her arms around you and pat you, you know, your back and hug you and say it's going to be okay. We're going to make it through all of this. Okay? So that's my mantra of the week. How was that, Daxon, Mary?
Wonderful.
Great.
Absolutely wonderful. And, you know, Durga is one of the goddesses that, you know, from that pantheon that I've felt a connection with, because I've got lion and tiger helpers, and that's what first attracted me to her. So I'm just sitting here like, wow, the synchronicity that's going on
Is
amazing. But I love that. I'm going to start chanting that, like, now. Right now.
Yeah. And she's really powerful. There's one, I'll share this one really quick story, and this comes from the Healing Mantras book or Sanskrit Mantras by Thomas Ashley Ferrand. And he said he was outdoors. They were doing something together spiritual with a group of people, and some guy came up. He was kind of disheveled, and he was, you know, kind of going after Thomas, right? Like, rah, 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 you know. And then his wife, Margalo, she turned around. She's very much chant. She loves Durga, and she chants Durga's mantra and said, "Excuse me, who do you think you are?" And the guy backed off. So she had that kind of, you know, that goddess, that Durga energy, like, oh, no, 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 you are not going to do this, not now. So just know that she carries that kind of energy, even if you're sick or afraid of getting sick or whatever that is. She'll,
mm-hmm.
she'll protect you for sure.
Awesome. And then we also have the card of the day. I know, Mary, you do cards of the day. You want to tell folks about what your daily practice is you do?
Yes. Every day on our Psychic Talk Radio Facebook group, I post a card of the day in there. And the card of the day that I posted comes from the Fairy Guidance Oracle by Paulina Cassidy. And the card is called Change. And the message is to expand your flexibility for change, and you'll enjoy the vitality of life ahead. And so I thought, wow, when that came up, that kind of really fits. circumstances have changed. We're all experiencing change. And, you know, we're going to make it, but we got to kind of, you know, figure out how to make those changes and to be flexible and you know, not doing things differently than maybe we're used to. So that's what I got for the card of the day.
There you go. I got the moon card. And the moon card in tarot is attached to psychic intuitive awakening, dreams. You know, right away I thought of the astro travel that you mentioned, Dr. Rose, that would be something great to, you know, take a course on.
Yeah.
Right nowadays, you know, and listening to our dreams and doing dream work and writing things down. Also, there's an aspect of the moon card about things being hidden and not seen clearly, because in the moonlight, it's not like seeing something in direct sunlight. It's, you know, it casts shadows and there's darkness. And I think there's a lot, I think it's hinting towards there's a lot we don't know yet about
right.
the health crisis, about the coronavirus. And it, you know, it's just hinting at that as well. But, you know, tarot is always multi-layered. And there's a, you know, like we were saying earlier, there's a lot of opportunity in the adversity if we just, you know, look for those possibilities there. All righty. So there you go. We're already past the bottom of the hour. And I want to give out the phone number one more time if anybody wants to call in and chat with us, 714-816-4628. So now we have all that out of the way. Let's chat about the Irish Fae. Well, fairies in general, and then narrowing to the Irish ones. And Mary, you need to repeat the name for our Irish Fae, and you know, maybe talk a little bit about you know, becoming a fairyologist and what all that means?
Yes. It's interesting, you know. So when we talk about fairies more generally, you know, because there's fairy traditions, stories, they have lore about fairies all over the world. You know, they may know them by different names. They may have ones that are, you know, specific to where they live, to their regions. You know, we have to understand that, you know, fairy is a very general term, and you know, and it's understood in different ways. And when we talk about Ireland, they don't call them fairies. They're known as the Shay, the She, the Shay. You're going to hear a Shay, Danish She. You know, these are different ways coming from like the old Gaelic and then modern Irish, you know, ways of pronouncing it. But they're really about, you know, it's different. I would say that out of all the different traditions all over the world, the Irish have a very specific tradition, and the She is probably the easiest way to think of it, just is pronouncing it that way. But the word is spelled S-I-D-H-E. So you might see that a lot. In fact, Dax, I'm sure you've seen it because there's a tarot deck that's been out for a really long time, the Tarot of the She, and so that's like a fairy tarot deck. But, you know, the way people approach them and stuff is really Ireland's unique, you know, than maybe the New Age approach. And so my certification as a fairyologist, really, you know, that comes from, you know, it's so funny. I'm going to say this, and I don't know how people will take it exactly, but, you know, back when Doreen Virtue was, like, cool, you know, with, like, maybe more people in the metaphysical crowd than she is now, you know, one of the last courses she taught to us, to that particular demographic, was a fairyologist course. And really, you know, even she taught in a very general way, and she talked about all the different types of fairies. You know, the way it's understood is, you know, fairies of the land, fairies of the sea, fairies of the sky. So, and in those different delineations of fairies, you also have tribes of fairies, certain fairy, you know, families, fairy royalty, you know, so it's like, fairies is a real general term, but it can mean a lot of different things to different people, and it kind of depends on where you live and are you talking about the land or the sea or the sky. And so it's like a crazily complicated topic at times, but I think that it's at the same time a little bit easy to understand. I hope. And, you know,
awesome.
And so what else do you want to know about them? Like, you know, we can talk about
there's,
you know,
different things.
Yeah.
What about you, Rose? Did you have any questions first?
Yeah, I do. Mike, a lot of times when people talk about the Fae, they refer to them as elementals. And I was just wondering about that. Are they truly elemental? Some people say that they were actually more, I guess, beings, divine beings, but somehow through the Victorian era, they were diminutized, made smaller. Do you have any information about that?
Yeah. You know, and so, and also if they're corporeal or non-corporeal, you know, like, are they physical creatures or, you know, are they like more energetic beings in
right.
a sense, you know? It is really interesting, and you know, with the Irish Fae in particular, you know, it kind of it's so intertwined with the history of Ireland. You know, where you have the first, like, you know, what they call them, the ancient gods of Ireland, the Tuatha
Dé
Danann, and you know, were they people or were they gods? And when you go back through the lore and what written accounts that there are, you know, historical accounts it's always hard to say what's mythology and what isn't. It's not quite like, and even when
right.
you study your Irish ancestry, you can go back far enough and reach a point where you're like, so were my ancestors real? Like you start to wonder. It gets a little bit twisted up. But the idea of them being small, right? There is some interesting things in the lore in Ireland. You know, there's one particular account where you have somebody who, you know, there's a lot of stories of them intermingling with humans, and you have one mm-hmm. account where you have a human man, and he's in love with a you know, we could say like a fairy princess, and he even, and it's written down, you know, he's starting to question, like, how's this going to work physically, you know, like, how do you have sex when she's so small and I'm so big, you know, I mean, that's literally there. And so it starts to make you think, like, okay, now we're talking about, this has to be like more of a corporeal thing, like they're talking about physical beings, because you couldn't necessarily, you know, have a you know, a romantic moment with someone who wasn't really there, right? You know, so it gets a, you know, there's a lot of different ideas about it, but there's not one answer. And because we don't know for sure, and I would say this, is that, you know, sometimes in our modern minds, we look back, we read the mythology of different cultures and stuff, and we kind of jump to, we try to, you know, so we see it through our modern eyes, we see it through our modern understanding, you know, I think we can't forget that for our ancestors, their experiences and their beliefs were very real. And
yeah,
and it gets really twisted up in Ireland, and I'm sure in other places too, but specifically in Ireland, because a lot of the accounts that we have of the Sidhe in Ireland were written down, like, in, I think, the 12th century by Christian monks. Now,
yeah.
You know, so they tend to be demonized, right? Because, you know, they're
exactly.
coming from that perspective. And also because of the experiences that people were having sounded like, a lot of times, experiences you wouldn't want to have. And so I think the Christian monks, you know, that was their understanding of it. But
mm-hmm.
at the same time, and so you see that with that writing. And then you have another tradition of writing that really romanticizes them, like Lady Wilde, Oscar Wilde's mother, you know, wrote about the Sidhe there as well. But I think what we have to understand is that they were still gathering stories from the people. And these were the
right.
stories they were telling them. And so when they write them down, they're writing them down from their point of view. And so you got to
right.
kind of, you know, pick out the in-between stuff. And that's the thing about fairies. You know, when I talk about the land, the sea, and the sky, you know, there's a lot of places in Ireland, you know, mounds and fairy forts and stuff, natural features and caves and the beach and mountains. So you got to think of it like, where do we meet them? Where do we cross over into what they call the other world or their realm, you know? And that's where we have these between places, like a mountain that rises up into the sky, where the land meets the sky, the beach, where the land meets the sea, you know, between, you know, we talk about times in which you're more likely to be able to connect with fairies as being like twilight and dawn, when the time is shifting from day to night. And
mm-hmm.
so it's kind of like, almost everything that I've learned about them, you know, you really find that, like, you don't get the, it's not a black and white answer. It's not a yes or no answer on most things. So it's interesting.
Yeah, I found the same thing. Like, one of the things that I'd been really fascinated with is the interaction between humans
mm.
and gods. And one of the
yeah.
things, you know, because you hear all these stories, and some of this from the movies, of course, you know, like, there was a period of time, I think, what is it, the Hobbit series talks about this, where there was a period
mm-hmm.
of time where these beings were more present or maybe corporeal, but then as time went on, I guess it became, I don't know, the reign of man or in the Eastern traditions, human beings became more closed off to the divine. And so it was just basically us. But I've always been interested in stories like that, especially where they talk about, like you said, the love between a human being and a divine being, and how does that work out? I have some theories about that, also some experiences.
Yeah.
So, but we'll have to do that for another show.
The R-rated version of the doctor's
revenge, right? But I've always, I was fascinated because you had so many stories across mythologies all over the world about this. I was like, well, there's got to be something going on. I don't think people are just making it up, you know. So, yeah.
Well, exactly. And, you know, what my teacher, Laura O'Brien, in Ireland at the Irish Pagan School, you know, she teaches us to create like a, you know, kind of like we create our own island. We use a kind of a guided journeying, like a shamanic journeying technique, in order to connect with the fae and other deities in safe space, you know. And she, you know, has posited that perhaps, you know, we read this, but we really don't know if they weren't maybe astral project journeying as well. Like they were, it doesn't make the experiences any less real. But
right,
you know, were they connecting in a different like state of, you know, like an altered state like that, you know? So it's hard to kind of figure out sometimes.
Yeah, it is, because also, like you said, the understanding back in those times, you know, was very different. You know, the, like you said, the monks wrote it down from their perspective, and of course that was outside of Christianity, and anything outside of Christianity was considered to be demonic. But you know, you just, their mindset was different. It was completely different, you know, than the way that we think now. You know, we come from the Western culture where there's this whole separation that's experienced, you know. So it's fascinating.
Yeah, it is. And one of my friends the other night, we were kind of talking about kind of a similar thing. And, you know, and his theory was that, you know, we've evolved our senses in some way where maybe we don't perceive them. It's maybe not like they went away, but that maybe,
right,
you know, like dolphins can hear sonar and we can't. There's some species that can see infrared and we can't. And the things that they see are still there. We just don't see them.
Or we see it in a different way, because people talk about the third eye and being able to see about the divine beings, especially in India, being beings of light. And that they exist in a different visual spectrum. Our physical eyes can't see it, but those of us in the psychic world and psychic development, you know, through meditation and other modes and whatnot, you can. It's almost like a, I would say, I wouldn't call it a daydream necessarily, but it's almost seeing things in a way that's very different. You don't, they're not physical, but you might get an image of them or something like that. You know, that they exist in a different dimension.
Yeah.
You know, oh,
yeah.
I want to say one thing really, really quickly. There's this interesting film. The beginning of it was interesting, called Beyond the Spectrum. And they talked about how cameras in space, you know, like in NASA shuttles or whatnot, they can pick up certain things that we can't see with our human eyes. And they were seeing these things, you know, like this light, different lights that were circulating around Earth, and they were moving and changing. It wasn't just like debris passing by, but it was moving and changing directions in ways that, you know, it had to be something more than just debris, you know, in space. And so there are things that we just can't see with our physical eyes, and we're not going to be able to see them with our physical eyes, you know? So,
And, you know, that's one thing I know, like, you know, my, you know, shamanic practice, we work on that. We work on expanding our senses. We do a lot of eye exercises and hearing exercises, trying to hear everything that's going around us, and then trying to extend our hearing range to hear, like, you know, what's going on the street near us, and then see just how far, you know, we can stretch that. And, there are things you can do to, you know, kind of try to expand the senses, and they're they're kind of fun, fun exercises, because something people could be doing now since they're stuck at home, you know.
Right. And I'm so glad you do the shamanic exercises, because that's what I do. And I have found that the more I just started doing, I don't know where I got this ability from. Like, I don't know if I just came into the earth plane or something like I did or whatever it was. But it's really fascinating, because the more I've engaged in it, the more real it becomes, the more it's difficult to explain, but it's a wonderful, wonderful experience. You know, when you do shamanic practices like that, like, you know, when you have animal totems and you talk with them and you ask them questions, these divine beings of, you know, things about your life or improvement of your life. It's really powerful. And I think it's a lot more powerful than people understand or know. It's not just dreaming like you're just fantasizing, because fantasizing is more of you have control over the whole scene. But this is more like it's mostly akin to the way that I see it. It's like you can set the stage, but then it becomes alive. And this is all, you know, kind of like in a meditative state, but you set the stage and it becomes alive. You might focus on an object or a symbol. You may see like greenery or something, but it will come alive on its own. You know, it's not something that you say, okay, and then this happened and that happened. That's more fantasy. Right, right.
Yeah, it's not quite the same as a guided journey where they're telling you, you know, what to visualize either, you know. And that would be the one thing that I would recommend to anyone interested in connecting with fairies, you know, in their local area, or, you know, connecting with the Irish G, is learning like shamanic journeying practices could be really helpful creating like a safe space to do that. You can kind of create you know, like your own island or your own, you know, grove of trees. You know, one couple things to keep in mind is that, you know, they are very connected to nature. As far as being elementals, I think the jury's still a little bit out on that. I think that they are like a distinct, I think of them more as a distinct species. And so having respect for them, like you would have respect for yourself and, you know, and your own species. So just some little tips there when you approach them.
Well, and yeah, I kind of wanted to go back the other direction, you know, talking, you've been talking a lot about, you know, the possibility of, I don't know what to describe it, but, you know, them being more like light beings or energy or consciousness or other dimensional or what have you. But let's bring it back, you know, to the opposite direction, you know, to the possibility of the corporeal existence, you know, maybe way, way farther back in time, you know, perhaps, maybe they went from corporeal to energetic. Who knows? But specifically with the Irish, there's the tradition of people being, you know, thinking of themselves as descendant from the Irish Fae. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, and so what happened, and that is really you know, you mentioned that I'm Irish, you know, and what it was is like I never knew my biological father growing up, and then finally, you know, with DNA test kits and stuff, you know, I dug into my ancestry. I guess it's been a couple of years, and discovered I was half Irish, and I was like, nobody told me. I could have been drinking green beer, or what's going on, you know? And so I really, you know, dug into that and, you know, connected with, you know, I found like 407 relatives, including a brother and sister I didn't know I had. And,
oh, wow.
You know, yeah, it's kind of wild. And, you know, So I started, they sent me a lot about my Irish heritage, and, you know, and it's like, look, you know, this is your people, and, you know, and look, there's a song about them and stuff. And I'm like, really, you know, and I'm going back through all of this stuff, and I started getting into it, and I'm like, wow, you know, it kind of, the further back you go back, you know, past the, you know, grandparents, the great grandparents, 3/4, you know, you keep going, and you learn about the clans that you're in, and the kind of like the tribal, you know, regions that your heritage comes from, and once you start studying that, you get further back, and you get to the point. I got to the point where I had an ancestor whose he had a name, and then next to his first name was Servant of Dagda, and Dagda is one of the Tuatha Danann. It's like the All Father of the Tuatha Danann. And
wow.
And then I found another ancestor, you know, who was called, you know, had their name listed and said of the calf goddess, you know. And I was like, okay, it's getting interesting here. You know, it's getting really, really interesting. And then what you find out is like, you know, so there's this, you know, the Milesians that came over, you know, the first peoples of Ireland, on the island, we're dealing with what they call the Formorians, which were, I guess, like this sort of race of giants, you know, kind of. And then the Tuatha Danann, and, you know, the ancient gods then show up. And so these are all like the first groups of people that inhabited Ireland, and the Milesians, intermixed with the Tuatha Danann, and like it wasn't a big deal, like what we were talking about earlier, because it wasn't so much of a big deal to, you know, get married to a god, or, you know, have sex with a god back then. You know, that was seemed to be going on a lot in Ireland, and that's how a lot of us end up with these ancestors that don't seem to be exactly what we think of like regular people as. You know, so it's fascinating. So, and even, you know, Ireland.com, you know, like the one of the main sites, if you're, you know, interested in Ireland, going there, want to read about the different regions and stuff, you know, they do stories every once in a while. It's like how to find out if you have fairy heritage, you know, and there's a lot of people that, you know, have traced back their ancestors to the Tuatha Danann, and they think like, whoa, you know, and then what happens though is like, you know, in Ireland, you know, there is a real respect for it, you know, like people don't mess with the mounds and the forts, mm-hmm. and stuff, and there's so many stories, you know, and there's even like, you know, local laws, like, you know, we're going to make our road around this feature in the land, we're not going to go through it, because every time somebody messes with one of these, things go bad, the equipment breaks, it hurts,
right.
You know,
yeah.
So it's, you know, it's a different way of being, maybe, than, you know, in the United States. I think that we have a lot of, you know, fairy places in the land, but I don't think that we alter our very important human infrastructure plans around them,
mm-hmm.
the way they do there.
So basically the answer to our question is yes, Mary Brown is descended from the Irish Fae. And
absolutely.
Yeah. And,
I always suspected as much.
You did suspect it. I'll tell you, before discovering my heritage, I kind of suspected it too, because I was already a fairyologist, and I had a moment where I really found myself in a moment of need to call upon the fairies, where I really thought, like, you know, that's who can help. That is the only people, the only beings that I could think of that could help me. And I was dealing with, I'm active in, you know, animal rescue, especially with dogs, and was dealing with a hoarding situation, and found myself with, you know, 15 puppies who were miserable, waiting on, you know, transports and stuff to take them where they needed to go. And I was really struggling with it, because it was just horrifying to me, kind of a shocking system that, you know, situation that just fell in my lap. And I'm sitting there out there with them outside, and they're miserable, and they're just crying and crying. And you know how, even when people, you know, when you have a baby that's crying, it can stress you out a little bit. You're like, please, what can I do for you? Please stop crying. It's going to be okay. And I was that way with these puppies, and I'm outside by this wonderful oak tree that we have out there. It's actually a pecan tree now that I think about it. And I just said, please help me. Please, you know, and I called upon the fairies, you know, our local fairies, and mm-hmm. how it happened, and how this kind of happens sometimes. For me, this experience was all of a sudden I hear a song in my head, and it's like a sing-songy little, you know, like puppy, 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 you know, like it was just like a simple song, and I kept hearing it in my head, and so I started singing it, and all these puppies were miserable and, you know, crying, all took a nap until help arrived. And I thought, you know, corporeal,
wow.
Not corporeal, myth, not myth, the effect is real. It works,
yes.
You know.
Yeah.
The effect is
That's
real.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, here we
yeah.
are coming up on the end of the show already. Before we go, I want to mention some of the wonderful upcoming shows, including ours tomorrow, Mary. We're going to be on with Tarot Today Radio and special guest James Rickliff. You know, I think James, some of his books, like Tarot Tells the Tale, you know, which is like, wow, it you know, it's a seminal work in tarot. And I think that's like one of the first things I ever read. And it really helped me get started with, you know, reading in a practical sense, doing 3-card readings. James is a certified tarot master, deck creator. He's created a couple of decks, as well as tarot author and speaker and educator. But we're going to have fun. We're going to talk about tarot games tomorrow. So can't wait for that. And you can always call into the show as well. And then on Sunday, March 22nd, it's Magic Universe with Sharona Rapsik. And she's doing an episode on raising your vibrations with essential oils. You know, that's fascinating to me because Rose and Mary, I don't know if you know, but Sharona plans out her shows like many months in advance. And
wow.
So, you know, she had no idea that doing that episode Sunday, March 22nd, would be such perfect timing. You know, we all need our vibrations raised up during this health crisis and all the stuff that's going on. You know, it's just like perfect timing with this stuff sometimes. It's just amazing. And then, let's see, on Monday, March 23rd, Reclaiming Your Power, it's the Compassionate Light Healing and Guidance Show with Catherine Hahn. She's doing a series of shows on Reclaiming Your Power all month long, which, again, yet another thing that we all need in this time of crisis. We need to be able to reclaim our own power. And then, of course, we'll be back next Friday, Dr. Rose, with Open Lines and tarot mini readings all show long. Looking forward to that. Yeah. And then Saturday, March 28th, we're getting to the end of the month here, and we'll be having that psychic spin episode, which, you know, we, Mary and I, decided we should do that and planned it, you know, way before things got to where they are now, like a month and a half, 2 months ago. And we could never have foreseen, Mary, that it would go the way it's gone. So we have even more to pull cards on the psychic spin on the coronavirus. Yeah, Saturday, March 28th. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I just feel like we plan, you know, you know, if you know Dax, you know, he's really, you know, good at planning ahead. And, you know, I think, you know, we both, you know, thought of that, like, yeah, you know, people are talking about this virus thing, you know, that'd be a great thing to pull some cards on. And now it's like a different world, a different world. So I'm
wow.
I'm glad we're doing it. I really am.
Yeah. Well, everybody, stay safe and healthy out there. I want to thank you for being on, Mary, and chatting a little bit about the Irish Fae with us. And
oh, thanks so much for having me on. I really love talking to you and Dr. Rose about this. This is so much fun for me.
On the show, this is wonderful.
We need to have more guests
up?
On. It's fun.
The audio, the audio cleared up. They were cool with it.
Awesome. Well, thanks, everybody. Thanks to all of our listeners. And thank you, Mary. Thank you, Dr. Rose, for being here.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Mary, so much for the wonderful presentation. And thank you, Dr. Dax, as always, for co-hosting.
I can't wait to be back on air with you next Friday, Dr. Rose. And I'll talk to you, Mary, tomorrow.
Yes, and James.
And James, it's going to be fun. All righty, bye, everybody. And good night, Mary. Good night, Dr. Rose. Good night, John Boy.
Bye.